have just a few points. Government counsel says that the secretary, in response to Judge Davis's question, is not acting in defiance of this court. Tobler, he says that this court can't decide that the VA claims process can't work in a way that decides a case contrary to a precedent, a final precedent of this court, but it allows the secretary to stay cases pending an appeal. Ramsey clearly says that that's not the case. The court said, among other things, although a stay by the secretary of all cases potentially affected by this court's decision is not a refusal to consider the applicability of a controlling precedent of this court, it nevertheless constitutes an action withholding application of this court's precedent. And that helped underlie the court's opinion. The secretary disagrees with that. He's acting in defiance of the Ramsey decision and the holdings in the case. What this case is about is whether the secretary is required to follow the rule of law.
What is our authority to actually stay the processing of cases by the board? And if you can include in your discussion comparative authority that the Federal Circuit might have that allowed them to exercise stay authority when they found a regulation to be inadequate, what if we were to find a regulation beyond the secretary's authority? Why would we not have that authority?
Yeah, I think that the NOVA decision that Judge Castle you're talking about is very apt in indicating what authority this court has. In the NOVA case, three organizations challenged the regulation at issue: NOVA, the DAV, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Those were the only parties before the court on the petitioner's side. The court had no direct jurisdiction over any other party. Despite all that, the court issued a wide-ranging stay of all proceedings of claimants who had DIC claims, either at the regional office or at the Board of Veterans Appeals, whose outcome is dependent on the regulation in question. The regulation, as according to the Federal Circuit, was still up in the air and it required a new rulemaking proceeding. How did the Federal Circuit have jurisdiction to do what it did? It certainly didn't have jurisdiction.
Well, to be fair, they didn't cite any authority, did they?
I understand they didn't cite any authority, but I'm about to tell the court the authority I thought the Federal Circuit has in this court has. And that is, both the Federal Circuit and this court are national courts, and it has jurisdiction under the All Writs Act of claims that are pending at the agency that may potentially get to the court through the regular appellate route. That is the authority, even though the Federal Circuit didn't say it, that the Federal Circuit
had. So would you say
all
writs is not only available to remove a block to the processing of cases, but all writs is also available to try and ensure that the cases that are decided properly, and therefore a stay might be appropriate in the example that NOVA gave for the regulation to be completed so that the cases were decided properly? Would you
yes.
say all writs is that broad?
The all writs is that broad. It gives the court jurisdiction whether they have an indisputable right, whether the petitioner has an indisputable right to the relief they're requesting is a different issue. But whether the court has jurisdiction to reach those people is without question. And that's why the Federal Circuit took the action it did in the NOVA case in 2001. It's a national court, and under the All Writs Act, it has the right to reach those claimants to make sure their decisions and process complies with the law if there's an indisputable right to that sort of processing. And that's the authority that underlied the Supreme Court, the Federal Circuit's decision in NOVA. Otherwise, what kind of a system do we have? What the secretary could do is, in a case like Colvin, many years ago, the court said the the board can't substitute its judgment on a medical issue. It has to rely on evidence. Well, if the secretary doesn't believe that that decision is right, like they don't believe Ramsey's right, don't appeal it and just tell the adjudicators, keep deciding it that way. You apply your medical judgment. And the only way we're going to get caught by that is appealing every decision.
There is a difference in the decisions. The secretary is not telling the adjudicators not to apply Ramsey. I mean, Ramsey didn't involve a merits-type determination. It's really just the secretary's authority himself. There's a big difference between that and Colvin, is there not?
Yes, I agree. But I'm just focusing on the authority of this court as a national court and comparing it to the secretary's view expressed here that it's the court only has jurisdiction over the party that appeals that appears before it, even in an All Writs Act case.
Well, what is your view of the secretary's position that if they were required to come to this court and ask for a stay, that that would not have any impact on the precedential effect of that decision with regard to other cases? In other words, it would be ineffective, is the way I understand the secretary's position.
I don't understand that position, why it would be ineffective. If the court...
Well, they said that if the court issues a stay, it's a stay only in between the parties, as I understand the secretary's argument. And therefore, it wouldn't impact the precedential effect of that decision if it was stayed. If the court granted the stay, that would have no impact on the requirement of the secretary to apply that decision in other cases.
I can't understand the validity of that statement. It repeats something that was in the secretary's memorandum at page 13. It said, in response to our request that the court direct the board to decide Hoslock cases forthwith, that order would be improper and unlawful because the court does not have personal jurisdiction over any claimant other than Mr. Rabata. So what the specter they're raising is if the court grants this petition and orders the secretary to go ahead and decide Rabata's case without a stay, that's only going to affect Mr. Rabato and nobody else and every
but
single...
But isn't that fair given the view that they see it? I mean, if the court were to say the secretary had no authority, then the entire stay is lifted. But if the court were to say they have discretion and they did or did not abuse it in Rabato's case, it wouldn't affect anybody else's necessarily. I think it was mentioned before that some veterans are at different ages, different infirmities, and so forth. It wouldn't each case be individual, and isn't that really the secretary's view?
It would depend on the court's reasoning in granting the petition. We believe the court should grant the petition because it's in violation of the final judgment in Ramsey, and that in effect invalidates the stay as to every petitioner, as to every claimant before the VA, the Board of Veterans Appeals, who's subject to the stay, and its decision would apply to not just Rabato, but everybody else in that position. It's the secretary who has created this class of veteran. The stay applies to a class of people. The secretary created that class. This court has jurisdiction to decide the fate of that class under the All Writs Act. And the secretary had authority to appeal the Ramsey decision. As your honors know, in the Williams Federal Circuit case, there's a way for the secretary to even appeal non-final court decisions that are remanded if it decides an important issue of law that's going to affect decisions at the board and RO level. They even have authority to appeal in that situation. They had authority to appeal Ramsey, and they held their hand because they didn't want to receive a decision by a higher court on it is the only thing I can figure.
Thank you, Mr. Stichman. Case is submitted. The court will now recess for 5 minutes to prepare for the case of American Legion versus Secretary.